What can prepare you for this, dating 30 people at the same time? I'm a teacher.
I'm constantly thinking about, like, my students.
This is a new feeling to me.
Overwhelmed in a very good way.
This is hard.
It felt so good.
Absolutely terrible.
Class is in session.
Hello, Taylor.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Wow. It's the end of the season.
It's the end of the season. Big deal, big times.
Quite a dramatic show in front of us.
It was something. I got a lot of feelings, so.
How are you? How are things?
Well, I think before we get started, we'd like to say a couple of things.
Whoa. Speak for yourself.
One of the,
I would like to say something.
Right. One of them being I saw Jingle All the Way for the first time over the weekend, and it is truly a charming delight.
It is way better than it gets credit for.
It's charming.
It's not high cinema, but it is what it is.
No.
And what it is like, maybe Christmas is unique about this, but like there are just, you know, Christmas movies that are supposed to be stupid and just get you in the season, and like it's not designed to do anything but make you remember the times where it was on and you were doing something else, you know?
Okay. I think the big thing about Jingle All the Way is that we really were stuck in a time period of a very specific 90s dad, where either the dad and the mom were divorced. The father was always a high-powered, ne'er-do-well, emotionally unavailable, physically unavailable parent to a child who just wanted their dad to be around. Didn't want a lot of flashy things, didn't care about his high-powered executive job doing something. I think that's the thing that we remember about 90s movies. A lot
of TV and movie writers going through divorces.
A lot of yuppie dads trying to work through some stuff.
A lot of them. And you know what? Jingle All the Way hits it hard.
It really does hit that yuppie dad thing hard. And you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, not a terrible actor. Terrible governor, but not a terrible actor.
They're all the same dad.
They're all the same dad.
It's a character anyone can play. You just bumble around for a while until there's a happy ending.
Tim Allen, Jim Carrey, Robin Williams.
What's the difference? They're all the same.
On. Chevy Chase, right? Wasn't Chevy Chase in Jungle to Jungle?
But also, like, he's the original bad dad. Not divorced, but you know,
he is the original bad dad and just original bad person. Yikes.
Yeah,
he sucks. He sucks.
So we have a special episode tonight.
Yeah, it's a pretty special episode, not gonna lie.
And it starts with a special announcement from the administration.
Yes.
The 25 to Life Administration.
Yes, specifically our interns have compiled our talking points together.
This is a two-part announcement.
Yes.
Which part do you want to say?
Well, I'll say the first part. After 19 seasons, 218 episodes, this is the 218th episode of the podcast. This is going to be our last episode.
It's just time.
It's kind of a big deal, though. Like, I mean, we've been doing this show for
almost
11 years?
10
years.
We started in 2013, I think.
Yeah, and as many of the OGs remember, it was started based on Adam originally watched Sean Lowe's season, gambled his way through a fantasy league at one of his first jobs, and then...
It was my actual first... My first real-time
job. Your first full-time
We started this for me, I think, 5 jobs ago.
Yeah, and so...
It sounds crazy, because I feel like every once in a while, I'll be like, here's what I do for a living, and here's what I do for a living. And it's just sort of evolved. Like, it stays the same, but it changes a little bit.
Yeah, and so
I've changed job 5 times throughout the administration.
And so Adam watched Sean Lowe's season, gambled through it, kind of was like, have you ever heard of this show called The Bachelor? And I said, wake up, Six. I think that's exactly what happened.
I don't think I said, have you heard of this show called The Bachelor?
That sounds like something you would say to me.
No. It's a show that people know. Even if you don't watch it, you know what it is.
And so that was a season that we watched together while you were playing fantasy. I now look back on it and so wish that we had done that season. it was
the podcast version, because I it would have been really good.
It was
Sean Lowe's season was really good.
It was a
good.
Great season.
Yeah.
It's the season that got me into this, and I said...
Season we met Leslie Murphy.
Oh, my God.
I'm so horned up.
Selma.
And
don't
I said,
Selma.
I said, the only way I will continue watching this franchise is if we make a stupid podcast, recording ourselves, making fun of them afterward, and...
And we did it.
And then we did 218 episodes of the same show.
And then we did it. And people loved it and commented and people followed. And people followed us from job to job. And
yeah. And like, you know, we're both Midwestern transplants living in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it is always sort of a, probably the primary purpose of the show is just to stay in touch with our friends from home. And to, you know, to meet new people and have a way to spend time with them every week.
Mm-hmm.
Or for them to spend time with us, where they could be like, yeah, I still know what's going on with them because I listen to their stupid show
and not gonna,
about stupid television.
And I'm not going to lie, it was really great on a resume. Because people always ask, okay, so what do you do outside of this work thing? I'll say, well, I actually host a moderately famous internet radio show called 25 to Life about The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
That is my... moderately famous internet radio show is the only way I ever talk about
this.
But
you know what?
Show.
The girls love to hear about it. And we got, you know, a little bit of press over the 10-year period of time. We were joined by our friend of the pod, former contestant, Hot John. You know, met some people, met Juan Pablo, met Leslie Murphy. You know, it's been super fun, right?
I have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's weird that this is the last one.
Yeah. It's been a great way to spend some different kind of time with your person.
It's been a great way to finally have something to talk about.
Well,
besides what's for dinner.
I ask you if you would talk to me every day, and you never talk to me. That's
right.
Not true. Adam talks to me all the time.
We talk all the time.
Adam talks to me all the time.
I would hope that people who have listened to 218 episodes of our show...
or met us in person.
I would assume that people have figured out that we can speak to each other relatively easily. Probably too easily,
yes.
I think is the problem.
And so...
I got distracted. Sorry, I didn't do that. I got distracted.
And so with that, you know, of course, some of the reasoning of us not doing the show has to do with... you know, Bachelor Nation has changed so much since we started and, you know, things are a little bit different. They don't, I would say, totally align with our mission and values. People are very focused on the influencer experience and not necessarily focused on the real, true meat of the show.
Crazy.
And what was that?
I mean, the real, true meat of the show never really drew me in either.
That's
I just
true.
Like making fun of these people.
That's
but,
true.
You know...
The show's different. It's different from... 10 years ago. I mean, Sean Lowe was a born-again, you know, virgin, and that was, you know, sort of this whole pure, beautiful life thing, and he's been married to Catherine for a long time. And now, you know, we've got, you know, people who just want to be famous on the Instagram and can't hold on to a relationship for more than 6 months. So,
yeah.
Things have changed. Exponentially.
Sort of. The real reason we're quitting is for announcement part number two, we're having a baby.
We're having a baby.
We're having a baby next year.
We're having a baby next year.
We're having a baby, and here's all the information you need to know. It's a boy. He's going to come in May, probably. And and I want to talk about it, and I can't be doing this show...
And caring for my son,
you know,
at
like
the same time.
Four or five hours a night every Monday night in perpetuity. I have a whole person's life, you know, is reliant on the two of us taking care of him. And that's sort of more important than another moderately
successful
internet radio
show. Exactly. We're super excited. And I think a lot of people are going to be excited. I'm not going to try to say that this is the baby of the year, but... kind of the baby of the year.
I don't want to be like...
I don't know who doesn't love a Bonifest baby, but everybody loves a Bonifest
baby. I don't
want
to be like... I don't want to be like, this is not the baby of the year. But I do want to be like, is a year too narrow of a scope? Could this be the baby of a decade?
Of the millennia?
Of the millennia.
The millennia?
It's early, but...
You know, yeah.
I don't want to restrict ourselves to just 2022.
I mean, frankly, Beyonce has already had the children that she's going to have, so I think the void is open for someone else to have the next most important baby. And I think it's us.
It is a fitting, it is the universe telling us, you've had a good run, Adam and Taylor, you've had a good run,
yeah,
but now's time to do something else with your life. And
talk about something else.
And you can't keep doing
for
this.
For a period of time.
Fun side note.
Yeah.
That this is something that I think most of our listeners, this is the type of content that our listeners tune in to hear me provide. The show is called 25 to Life.
Right.
It's called 25 to Life because at the beginning of this, there are 25 people and you end up with one of them at the end, and it's sort of like a jail sentence.
Now, Adam, right? Tell everybody Taylor's, who came up with the
this
name
is Taylor's idea.
Of the show.
This is Taylor's idea, yeah. And she came up with it 10 years ago. 20
years,
seasons.
25
say,
years ago.
I was going to say seasons, but it's not quite 20 seasons yet. Instead, our show started in 2013 when... Before you and I had our birthdays, we were both 25.
It is really
ending with us creating a new life for the universe.
Oh my God, Adam!
How sweet is that? What a great little...
That's so wonderful.
It's a coincidence. You know, obviously, we didn't plan this thing 10 years ago.
Ew,
we didn't
no.
say, okay, 19 seasons,
this is it.
25 to life. Here's the twist ending. There's a baby.
Twist!
You know? It is extremely appropriate, and little wordplay proprieties is one of my wheelhouses. Maybe my only wheelhouse.
It is. It is. That and anagrams.
That's exactly, I mean, that's the same thing.
And we've been through a lot of milestones on the show, too. Like, we got married on this show.
We got engaged, like,
engaged
and married.
On the show.
We moved to the new studio.
Yep, the new studio. We got
brought
busy.
Little Miss Biscotti in the
yeah.
house.
A lot of stuff.
A lot has happened. And, like, listen, I know some of you haven't been listening for 218 episodes. Maybe this is your first time. Whatever.
I don't care.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
You know, how many people have started the podcast and then, like, a dozen people listen and then it dropped off? And, like, you know, we had 1,000 people listen to an episode this
yeah.
year. And you know what? That's great.
But thank you.
Even better, if you've met us in person and you know who we are and you have been, like... actually listening.
And maybe in and out,
every
you know,
week.
Season to
yeah,
season
whatever.
Based on what you like.
Over the years.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we got to hang out together and like spend a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour together every week. That's the reason we do it. And I'm just glad that we got to do it. And I'm glad that I'm having a baby now. And, you know, I'm sure that you're happy we are too.
Yeah, well.
you, the listener.
I'm doing the work.
Not you.
Not
I'm
me.
Sure that you, the listener, oh, okay. are happy that we are procreating.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure
Absolutely.
That everyone listening will be like, that
Absolutely.
Is a good reason to stop doing the podcast.
Yeah.
I will miss them. And instead, I will just call them once a week and expect to play with their baby on the phone.
Correct. And I, you know, I think we want to thank all the people that have been on the friend zone multiple times, all of our, you know, avid listeners that have listened every day, the people that text, that call, that, you know, that listen to the podcast and then give us their analysis, and all the people that, you know, have joined us on and off, and, you know, we really appreciate it. And, you know, this, like Adam said, was just a fun thing that we decided to do, and it turned into this whole larger experience.
It's fun. I mean, it's not, this is not a media commentary. This is not us making something new about The Bachelorette. This is us hanging out with our friends,
mm-hmm.
using technology to stay close to people. And, yeah, I mean, if you're still listening to us, thanks.
Yeah. What have been some of your favorite moments over the 19 seasons that we've done the show?
Let's reminisce.
Take us to a journey to the past. Put your glasses on so that we know that time has passed.
Number one favorite moment, it happened off air. It's when I met Leslie Murphy.
Yes.
And holy crap. You want to talk about a woman who is attractive.
It is
a magnetizing, sort of overwhelming, hypnotizing experience to meet Leslie Murphy.
Well, and
she is a beautiful person.
And the thing about Leslie Murphy is that she is a total package. Whereas she is both articulate. Hello.
She got big boobs.
She's got a great head of hair.
She's real smart.
She's real smart. She is got a great head of hair. And she's also very cool, super down to earth. And I know I don't want to be this person and everything, but like the guy that she was with at that time.
Whack.
He was whack. And so it kind of makes you think, everybody had a chance. And I think that's what really matters here.
I think it's funny that this is my last episode of the show, and I'm like, part one, I'm having a baby with the co-host, my wife.
My wife.
Part two, boy, this other woman.
Classic Adam.
Sorry. This, you can't help what you're into. Well, yeah, you know. I had to say that at least once in the last episode, I guess. Favorite moment off air related is probably that. Although John was great. Like, what better of a person? He couldn't
have been a nicer guy.
He gave us so much time. He came into our house.
He came to our home.
He was friendly. He gave us his number. You know, he texted us a couple of times. He shouted this out on Instagram. He was a good dude. Like,
John
is
so sweet. And he's engaged now, you know, still living in the city, I think.
For all that we say about how terrible we think most of these people are, he was exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
He was so cool.
So sweet.
He was a good guy. I'm so glad that we met him. Mm-hmm.
He did spend a lot of time with us. Like, we went to a wine bar with him, and he, like, sat, and we literally hung out all evening. He was the best.
He really was.
He was the best.
And, like, he just did it to hang out. Yeah. You know? We didn't pay him. We don't have sponsors.
No.
Like, he just hung out.
No. Very, love Hot John.
Very cool.
I would say my favorite moment, I mean, usually... I think you guys really underestimate, or maybe you don't, how funny Adam is. And so...
Honey, thank you.
There have been several times when Adam has said stuff that is just stuck in my brain.
Are you serious?
For I was so
gonna say,
long.
I was going to say literally the same thing about you. I was going to say, like, my favorite things that happen on air are when we say these turns of... Okay, but you keep going.
But, like, the turns of phrase that we come up with that are so funny... that become, like, part of the identity of the show. Like, Mike G trying to open the pickles.
Mike G and the pickles was my number one thing.
It's so funny. The poor kid haircut will never not be hilarious.
That's the best. Poor kid haircut is the best thing you have said on the show. in 218 episodes, I wouldn't say that. Poor kid. I can't even say it with a straight face now. Like, the image of somebody pulling scissors out of
crayon, like the yellow crayon scissors, and like just pushing your
hand. I imagine them as just regular family scissors that were previously inside raw meat. They just pulled out.
Not the kitchen scissors.
Pulled out and just cut straight across.
No, like,
that's the best thing you've said on the show.
Well, I mean, and we wouldn't have had without the quarantine season, you know. Someone who looks like
she smells like cigarettes.
I mean, there have been so many moments that have just been like tear inducing, laugh inducing that I think people have also come to us. I mean, just from this season alone, the number of people that have reached out to me about Adam's code switching and like doing Brandon's light skin voice, it has been like, everybody's like, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard. So, like, I appreciate that people think that we're very funny.
I
also think that we are very funny.
Life is supposed to be funny.
Yes.
And,
yes,
you know, you're supposed to sit here and supposed to enjoy it with the people you enjoy it with and make each other giggle all the time. That's the whole point of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think I could make Leslie Murphy giggle.
I think could.
To make this, to just close the loop.
To close the loop on Leslie Murphy and how hot she is.
I think I could make her giggle if she gave me a chance. But that was something I wanted to bring up too. We've had so many we say these things around the house.
Absolutely.
I don't expect our listeners to do this, but honestly, if you do, if there's something that one of us has said over the last 19 seasons of this that you have just accidentally incorporated into your everyday language,
you know, I love that.
I would be flattered. What an honor
you
that
know,
would
I
be.
Love that. I love a catchphrase, honestly.
Honestly, I hope I've heard people say you can't help what you're into.
You can't.
I've heard people say that.
You really can't. Yeah.
That's the thing I started.
And then here's the thing. Like, I mean, I talk to people all the time that say, here's the thing. And then they ding themselves after they say it.
It's been a great time.
It's been great. And I, you know, I would also say that, you know, I hope you learned something about yourself and about like relationships as we've talked about them. You know, women be shopping and, you know, men be also terrible as well. You know, use your percent and all the things that come with dating people and trying to be in a relationship and communicating effectively and, you know, figuring out what you want and what you don't want and seeing red flags and watching them happen on television and knowing based on that what you what kind of relationship you do or don't want to be in. And I hope you at least learned something from us two goons that were just friends that started, you know, a family.
Or just, like, I hope somebody empathized with somebody, you know. That's sort of my soapbox all the time. I hope somebody was like, you know what? I had never thought about this like that. And was just nice to somebody.
Yeah.
And then they laughed, like, you know, life is supposed to be funny and everything.
Or learned about cult stuff, you know, because we talk about that a lot, too.
Wow, we spent so much time talking on the air about cult stuff.
Well, and I mean, come on.
Honestly, I feel like
NXIVM really gave us a lot of content over the last, like, year and a half.
I mean, truly. Honestly, I feel like maybe we could start one. Now that we are birthing the Christ, honestly.
Right.
And we have
a little too close to Christmas to say that, but okay.
Ooh, good news. This is going to be on the air through Christmas. So people listening in January will sound exactly the same. we have extra time now to devote to the, you know, the building of the movement.
To the rearing of the movement, exactly.
To raise the movement in the same way that we would raise a child, which, I don't know if you heard, we will have experience with.
Correct.
Soon.
So.
That's anything else that you want to take a nice little reminisce about?
No.
You know, before we actually get into the, like, we are going to talk about what actually happened.
Yes.
That's just sort of coming.
Par for the course.
Whatever. Sort of secondary. Yeah. Before we do that, is there anything else you want to sort of, you know, relive again or make sure that you just get out there on the last episode?
No. I mean, I feel like I've said everything that is, you know, really important to me, and I hope that people enjoyed the show, and, you know, thanks for listening to it. It's been super fun, and it'll be, you know, stories that we'll be able to tell to our young man as he grows up, and he'll be like, Mom, Dad, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. We'll say, okay, pull up GarageBand, let's do it.
What if he's like, Mom, Dad, what were you like at this point in your life? And we can say, good news for you, man.
We had a moderately successful internet radio show.
We recorded ourselves for an hour every week for 10 years, and you can sit here and listen to it. And
watching this old show called The Bachelor.
And maybe sometime in there, we would have accidentally got too tired editing too late and left some swear words in there.
We definitely did
that. And you can hear those.
Yeah.
And
then you can hear your mom laugh at herself cursing because she thinks it's so funny when she curses. Because I enunciate all the letters.
It's
my non-regional addiction. You know, my mom was on TV, so that's just how we talk at home.
So every night right after the show, we record this. And then we, like, just sit in the bed and edit the entire thing all the way through. So we watch the show for 2 hours, we record for about an hour, and then we spend a little over an hour doing the editing.
So this all is a 4-hour evening process.
It's all in one block.
Yes.
And the funny thing is that we'll just be sitting there listening to the show again as we edit it, and every time Taylor swears, she just giggles. Like, she thinks it's the funniest thing when she swears. And it's like, you can hear it coming from a mile away.
Well, both, it depends
both
on
the swearing and the reaction.
And usually it depends on how I say it. Like, if I say it really hard, then it's super funny to me.
It's just, I don't wish I would have done this, but I kind of wish I would have done this. Just recorded you at some point. Recorded you listening to yourself while we edit. To take this into, like, a weird metaverse. Like, you listening to yourself, and just giggling at your little swearing.
Yeah.
It's
funny.
It's predictable, and it's just hilarious.
I think you just love me, and that's what's really going on.
Listen, if Leslie Murphy's listening, I'm available.
Right. If Leslie Murphy's listening, he's not in love with me.
If my future son is listening to this...
I'm pregnant, but don't worry. This is not a barrier to entry.
If my future son is listening to this now, I love your mother and not this other woman.
Right.
And also, hello. I'm proud of you, you know, and all of that.
Yes. Brush your teeth.
This is what we did.
Yeah.
This is what your mom and I did for every week for 10 years. For funsies. To hang out with our friends.
That's right.
And to lead up to your life.
Yeah. So.
I don't have anything else to say. Do you have anything else to say?
No.
This is the last chance before we actually turn into the real episode.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about the real episode.
Okay. So we're still in Mexico.
Obviously.
Everybody's in love, basically.
Yeah. Sort of.
Well,
the contestants are all in love, but there's new characters.
Like who?
The mom and dad.
Oh,
her family.
Oh, sorry.
Here.
I was like, oh, okay. What are you talking about?
So, there's a new guy.
So
Jacob.
Jacob. Who's Jacob?
What?
Wait, he's a werewolf.
He got inserted at the last moment. He might win it. I don't know.
He's a werewolf. So Michelle is in love with both Brandon and Nate for two totally different reasons. So Brandon, as we know, is the I'll do anything for you hyperbole, you know, grandiose language, you know, some may say overemphasizes, overextends, overexaggerates.
He's sweet, but it can be a bit much a lot of the time.
Right. And then we've got Nate, who she has a very just deep connection with. He himself is deep, but as we know, he has struggled with expressing his emotions when, you know, he has grown up in a family and experience where doing that has not necessarily been top of mind.
Dangerous.
So I can understand that it comes difficult for
him. I think Nate's just cool and smooth, and he doesn't need to be hyper deep because he's just so cool and smooth on top.
But that's the thing. I think he is deep with Michelle. Like, when they talk about deep stuff.
I don't think his feeling
part is not necessarily super...
That's probably
eloquent.
Right. That's probably right. No, I think he's too eloquent is the problem.
Yeah.
He's too good at talking that he he's sort of gotten by with the style and he hasn't needed the substance.
Right. So as we know, once we get to the final two, this is the point where the Leeds family gets to meet the final two and kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say co-sign, but I would softly say they get to put eyeballs on somebody and then make a judgment call. But whether or not the lead sort of takes it remains to be seen. As we know, Michelle's family and her parents, namely her mom, is running the show. And they have a lot to say about each of the people that she dates based on her history. And as we know, Michelle has also been auditioning for the families of the two guys that are left to see who's going to match with her parents.
This is a weird scenario.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. When you meet somebody, you know, you meet your kids. Now I'm just, you know, now that I'm a parent.
I know, right.
Right? Well, you know, when you meet your kids, like, love interest
right.
for the first time.
Right.
You don't expect it to be the first time, and then the next time they're already engaged.
Right.
It's weird.
Right.
It's not like a... And especially with Midwestern parents, which are, you know, their own breed of wonderful.
They're different. They're different. Yes.
It's by all, in my understanding, by all means, a very good thing. Midwestern parents,
right.
very accepting, not judgmental,
open.
Not mean, very loving toward children,
yeah.
Like you, friends of their children.
Yeah, you pretty much need to, like, pee on the floor to not be accepted by a Midwestern parent.
So there is also, I think, the pressure to uphold the Midwestern-dom and have things go really smoothly.
Right.
Like, you kind of want to be critical. Like, is this person going to marry my daughter? But at the same time, I don't want to make somebody have a bad afternoon.
I don't want to rock the boat.
So that's where we are. We have Michelle's mom and dad are there, and then her sister
Angela.
Great.
Yeah.
So they're there. They're going to meet Brandon and Nate, and they're going to do it in that order. So
right.
Brandon's first.
I think this was I really struggled with this date because it could not have gone any better. As we know, Brandon already got to meet Michelle's parents when they were in Minnesota.
He was in their house.
Right. He was not only just in their house, he was in their hot tub. And
he was wearing his swim trunks.
And he was wearing her father's swim trunks.
He was in Dad's Unmentionables.
So Brandon brought all of these gifts with him, and one of the things that he brought was a brand new pair of swim trunks. Now,
what a move.
Like,
I just want to take a pause. What a great move.
Like,
hey, great.
I don't know how anybody could have topped a date like this. Like, he hugged Michelle's mom, like, so tightly. And then he touched her arm, like after they hugged. I don't know if you noticed that. And it was very kind of like, you know, an intimate, like, you know, when you touch somebody's arm, like on the upper part of it, you know, it's a connection point that you have with somebody. And then like the fact that they already have inside jokes as a family, like that's the Midwestern experience.
I think,
and he fell right into it so easily, and they love him.
Yeah, even though he wore capris, they love him.
Well, it was more of a slack that was rolled out.
It was mid shin. I think there's a thing that her parents are doing where they're not entirely comfortable here, and just sort of, you know, like it's not their house. The first time they met, they're in their house, obviously most comfortable possible scenario, but they moved to a new place. They've never been here or whatever. The cameras are turned on them. This is a scenario they're never inside of. And then all of a sudden, hey, somebody they know is here. I think it's it's like if you go to a party where you don't know anybody and there's one person you've met one time.
And you glom onto them for the rest of the evening.
I kind of think that was what we had with Brandon here. Okay. Not to say that Brandon was perfect. He was nothing less than perfect.
No.
The gifts were great. He is a great communicator and speaker to the parents.
Yeah.
I think he did a fantastic job. He's just a sweet guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, but I do think that they were a little bit thirsty and he, just because of the one previous interaction, had a giant kind of advantage in terms of being an attractive social partner.
Yeah, I will accept that. I mean, Michelle's dad was basically giddy when he was talking to him and like so excited, and even said to Michelle later, like, he reminds me of me, which, like, I mean, how do you come back from that? Like, I mean, it was definitely, it was a slam dunk, and it might as well have been. So one of the things that Michelle's dad did bring up that I don't think we've heard sort of about what Michelle's sort of success trajectory is, and this falls into place with the conversation about wanting everybody to move to Minnesota post this experience. He said that Michelle really is focused on being successful and ambitious. She wants to continue to get her master's degree, and then she wants to eventually be a principal. So I think it's a good thing to sort of solidify even more so that Michelle is not like these other girls that are on the show being the bachelorette, that she's like, no, when I do this, I'm going to be done. And then I'm going back to school and I'm going to, you know, work. So bye.
How nice.
What a great change of pace.
How nice. Also, Brandon seems totally cool with not being the influencer lifestyle. Like, yeah, I do my job. I can do it remote. Like, right. I'll go to Minnesota and just, you know, do what I do, and that's fine.
And he said it instantly, with no hesitation, nothing.
He's sweet.
This was really perfect. He even said to them, he's a human puppy. He said to them, I want to be a part of your family so bad. And, like, he easily jumped in. He didn't miss a beat with them. You know, he was able to sort of, you know, be his Brandon self, and they were so open to him. And I think they already know and can feel and sense Brandon's sort of earnestness. And
that's exactly what it is.
And they love that. He's so sweet. They love that.
He's a puppy. Who could hate a puppy?
He's a puppy. He's a puppy.
That's Brandon.
That's Brandon. So do you think, what's your verdict on how it went?
Same as you. There was nothing bad. Nothing bad happened. It was, you know,
It was literally it.
It went as well as it could go. Yeah. I don't think there were too many obstacles. I think the parents wanted it to go well. Obviously, everybody wanted it to go well.
Yeah, everybody wants it to go well.
You know, I don't think it was hard.
No.
So Nate's is different.
So next up is Nate.
Nate's is different.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts about how Nate handled this? I mean, I don't want to compare Brandon and Nate. We will in a minute. But how do you think Nate handled this in a silo in his own sort of experience?
Nate's just not as good as Brandon.
No.
Nate's, his style doesn't really work for parents.
Say more.
Parents don't want the flash. They want straight answers to things, you know? And Brandon, like, that's his specialty.
Right.
He is, like, I don't want to say simple because that's not the right word. That sounds condescending. He is not overly complex, and Nate is. I want this to sound like something Brandon does that's good and something Nate does that's bad, but Nate talks so complexly, so circular, that it's so difficult to tell what he's saying.
Right, right. And like you said, the parents want a straight answer. Like, and the questions that they're also asking of him during the during the visit are answers that questions that are like yes or no.
Yeah, they're not hard.
They're like, not hard
questions. They're not hard, and Nate should have known and come prepared. He should have had a note card that says, what happens when they say, will you move to Minnesota?
Absolutely.
Here
are three bullet points of what you should say. So when he showed up, I thought it was really interesting that Michelle actually reached out to him to sort of bring him in and open her arms to him and welcome him. He was so nervous. You could tell where Brandon didn't have to be nervous because he kind of already met these people.
He knew them, yeah.
He knew them. But Nate was so nervous. But so I appreciate his nervousness as like him caring, because again, we talked about this last week, you know, Nate does care so deeply about his image and his brand and like what people think of him and wanting to show that he is a cool, deep, interesting person, that even in this situation, meeting the parents, he still wants to be seen as a deep and interesting person, but also he's in love for the first time for real. And he wants to also give that off to the people.
Maybe. I mean, it's also just, it's a high pressure situation.
Yeah.
You know, it would be hard for anybody. Maybe, I mean, Nate's from Texas. Maybe he's never met Midwestern parents before.
You know?
It's a different brand
of person. Well, he's not from Texas. He's from Canada.
Oh, see, Canadian parents, I would imagine, are like Midwestern
parents. They're adjacent. They're very, definitely adjacent.
Very nice and polite.
Mm-hmm.
Very, mm-hmm. very accommodating.
More tolerable to colder temperatures, of course.
Yeah. Oh, so maybe that takes it away. Maybe he's never met a white woman named LaVon. It's confusing.
It is confusing. I thought that was, I mean, let me just have a soft aside here. I've never in my life, LaVon Young sounds like the woman that makes the potato salad for the Omega Baptist Church summer picnic every year and runs Bible study on Wednesday. I'm sure she picks up the phone and says, this is LaVon Young. And somebody's like, oh, okay, she's a sister. And then she walks into the bank and somebody goes, no, wait a minute. LaVon, are you sure? Is the L capital and the V's capital, or is it all one word? What's going on? Anyway.
So Nate meets the parents.
Nate meets the parents.
And he does his little Nate dancey dance.
Yeah.
His conversational dancey thing.
A couple of other issues. It sounds like the logistics of the move were not discussed ahead of Nate meeting the family. I don't love that. He then responded in turn, instead of talking straight about moving to Minnesota, that I'm all about the adventure. No.
Why would you think a parent wants to hear
that? Why would you say something like that? Now, I will say, I could tell that there were some Franken edits during Nate's session that, you know, there was a lot of moments that Brandon was on camera and he was saying specific things and his words were not all stitched together. And then there were a couple of moments in Nate's where you just saw Michelle's parents' face and then you heard Nate's answer kind of in the background. I don't always love that because, again, everybody, we're watching a television show. So you gotta think about how they're editing all this stuff together.
I don't think Nate does a poor job. I think Nate's just shifty and the parents, Michelle's parents, aren't used to that. And they're just kind of like, is he hiding something?
Right.
Which is a totally legit reaction.
Right.
You know, the next time they see him, he might be part of their family. So it's a little weird.
Right.
You know, LaVon's kind of like, not for me.
And she point blank said to him, I'm really concerned because you haven't given me a straight answer about everything and you're not really open with your emotions. So I need you to speak and communicate. Like, this is not a time for you to talk in circles. Like you said, Adam, this is a time for you to say,
what was the one?
1 + 1 = 2. And I, you know, love your daughter.
1 + 1 = 2. Just mathematically, that's how it works.
That's how it works.
But yeah, they're not on the same speed.
No.
Brandon and Michelle's parents, They're the same speed. Nate and Michelle's parents, they're not. It's discordant.
So how did you think the conversation went? Because Michelle came and debriefed with her parents about Brandon. Obviously, they love him. I mean, that conversation went very easily. How do you think the conversation went after Michelle's parents met Nate?
What they showed us was Michelle's mom saying, you know, Brandon is better than Nate. I don't think that's what really happened.
Yeah.
Listen, I've got two Midwestern parents. You've got two Midwestern parents.
I sure do.
I'm 100% sure what she said was, listen, I trust you to make the right decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And here's just my two cents.
Yep.
And then she might have said, I like Brandon over Nate. But she probably said it in a way that was kind of like this, where she goes,
it was vague.
Well, I realize that I've met Brandon before, yep. So that's going to play
that's
a factor.
That's exactly what she said.
And he put his thing in your dad's swim trunks, and so, like, that's kind of weird for
that's
everyone.
Weird, but we made a joke about it, and it was funny.
She probably started with all of these qualifiers to say, I'm going to present to you my opinion, my preference, but by the way, at any point, feel free to step in and override with your own thing, because that's all that matters.
Exactly.
And you know what? She's right.
She's right.
So that's her long-winded speech way of showing that you can't help what you're into and that I trust you as a child. Right.
I think the other thing about Nate, before we move on to the final dates between the two of them, is that Nate's also never done this before, because he has self-admittedly, as we know, has never been in love, has never been in a situation
where he's too cool for a relationship.
Well, I mean, not even too cool
that's
for a relationship.
That sounds mean.
No, I mean, because it's not that.
Can I strike that from the record? I didn't mean it. Sounds mean.
It sounds mean. He's just never done this before. And not to say that, like, you know, you need to learn how to meet parents. But, like, when you meet parents in this context and your relationship is really serious, the conversation is different than if you're just dating somebody and, like, you meet somebody's brother or you meet somebody's, like, you know, mom, you know, and you go to the Nutcracker one night. You know what I mean? It's just different. And he's never done that before, so I can understand why he would be fumbling a little bit. Not to mention where we've said a couple of times, like, the cameras of it all, the producers of it all, like, Nate, again, curates his image so much where he's got now two sets of people that could potentially sort of ruin his reputation by him saying one wrong thing. So he doesn't want to pinpoint himself on something and then ruin it all.
Fun side note. I love meeting people's parents.
I know you do.
I love it.
Well, like, you're very good at it because you've done it a lot.
You have experience
where Nate doesn't have experience.
I don't know if this is a commonly known thing, but in my group of friends, I was always like the dad. I'd say dad now because I am one, but at the time I would say I was the mom. I've always been the parent in my, like, friends group for forever.
You are the responsible
one. And I think it was just sort of a connection I had with people's parents where they were like, okay, like,
if Adam's going, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, they were sort of like, okay, well, if we can't be there, you can be the surrogate. And, like, you'll do things.
Yes, we've spent many an evening over at a parent's house without your friends, honestly. Hanging out with your friends' parents.
I like meeting.
Having a great afternoon.
My friends' parents, you know, did a great job of parenting me when I was over there.
Shout out to Dr. Woodruff.
To all of them. Yep. Doctors Woodruff.
Yes. I mean, but, you know, our girl Kathy, you know? Listen to the pod. Long-time listener. Very exciting.
I am on a first-name basis with so many of my friends' parents.
You really are.
Because I just love talking to them.
You really do.
I don't understand Nate's position. But you know what? Like, I'm not cool like Nate is cool.
Aww.
I'm not.
Honey, you're not.
I'm way more like Brandon.
You're not.
I'm way more like Brandon. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about their last dates.
Okay, so the final date with Brandon was essentially, you know, a jaunt on the beach. Hang out with some jet skis.
Ugh, jet skis.
Jet skis.
Great time.
Remember when we drove those jet skis under a plane as it was landing?
Can I...
Righteous.
Can I point something out about what you just said?
What?
Who just drove the jet ski?
Adam was driving the jet ski and I was on the back of the jet ski. It's fine.
In most of our life, mm-hmm. I'm I'm very willing to sort of just sit back and let Taylor do the leading on things. Like our car, our car that we have, Taylor does almost all the driving.
I drive.
Because she's better at it than I am.
Oh, thank you. I am a good driver.
She is. She's really good.
Yeah. I'm not like a woman. I am.
No. I'm like a woman.
I'm a good driver. Adam will get in the car and will be like, we're driving slow. I'm like, honey, the speed limit
is 45. I was in a car accident.
You were. You were in a very serious car accident. That's right.
It was impactful.
Right. Right.
The speed limit is 45. I don't need this. But I've driven jet skis before because I went to a fun sports summer camp, and Taylor hasn't. So when we rode our jet skis, Taylor was like, you drive, and I'll sit on the back and like put my arms around you and hold on and everything. And I was like, this is about as manly as I get. This is.
And I was like giggling in your ear the whole time.
Taylor, Taylor is not like a girly hee-hee girl at all.
I'm not.
She was just chattering the he's all over. Hee.
I was doing that.
Right under the airplane.
Go faster. I was.
Turn the corner sharp. Hang on.
I'm so excited. That's exactly what happened. It was really fun.
It was fun. Jet skis are an awesome date idea, but they had two separate ones.
Yes.
Still fun. But still you don't get the giggly he's.
No, you don't get that. So with Brandon, he's never had a family sort of open up like that to him. And he is sort of...
That's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's sort of self-proclaimed that he's never gone into a relationship this open, this communicative, this vulnerable, blah, blah, blah.
He just seems so honest. And, like, maybe it's just that he's never been this far with another, like, with a girl, where, to the point where you would meet the parents. But
yeah,
what parents wouldn't love a guy like Brandon?
I just find it really weird that, like, if this is what he's like when he's super open and honest, what is the other end of the spectrum where he said he hasn't been like this before?
You know what? Now's a good time for me to bring this up.
Okay.
When the thing that I have been making fun of Brandon the entire season is the way he talks to Michelle, right?
Yes.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Not the content, the style.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I'll miss about the show, Adam's light skin voice.
However,
the code switching that you've been doing,
I can do it. Listen,
has been really something.
I can do that voice.
Really something.
I can do that voice whenever you want.
Okay. All right.
I'm just going to surprise you with it.
All right.
I'm going to surprise you with it when I'm trying to put the moves on you and invite you to my junior prom.
Or
whatever else a little kid.
Oh, can I wear my butterfly clips?
I probably. When he is talking to, with like the entire season we've seen him, the only time we hear him talk is when he's talking to Michelle.
Right.
Until tonight, when he's doing some parent talking.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing some after the final rose talking on the couch.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't talk like that. Mm. He only talks like that. He only talks like that to the women he is trying to woo.
Ooh, girl.
No, it's a good thing.
Oh,
that's
wait.
Like this like junior high boy trying pickup lines thing. That's not permanent. That's a phase he's going
through.
But
to me, that is deceptive. Like, that's not good. I don't want to like be in a conversation with somebody that like, you know, you act like two different people when like somebody you're with isn't around. Like, I know somebody like that who's like all of a sudden a totally different person when somebody isn't around, and I'm like, girl.
I mean, it's...
What?
It's part of date persona you. It's something that everyone has, and it's unavoidable, and you just gotta let it burn off. It takes probably a different amount of time for different people, but everyone is different in the first couple of months they meet.
The representative.
The representative's voice is what
it
is.
Right.
His, hey, girl, that's the representative's voice.
Right, right.
That's not his real voice. He talks like a normal person.
Well, I mean, she even said it in the first couple of episodes. She was like, why are you talking like that?
It is the representative voice. So, I don't know. To me, I liked it. I liked that he's not like that. He's only like that for Michelle. He's normal otherwise.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up in my book for that.
The other thing that I noticed about this, and it really made me think, especially when she's talked about Nate being so deep, Brandon is small town. And I think that is one of the things that...
Where is he from?
Well, I'm saying he's from Portland. But I'm saying okay. small town in sort of a turn of phrase, like someone has having Mundo. He is the opposite.
He's
of
real
Mundo.
Local, if he's, you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah, he's real local. He's real township like municipality of sorts. He's never been on a jet ski. Now, I only recently have been on a jet ski.
Look who's talking.
I know, I'm just saying that. But like, you know, he's never been in a situation where he would be on a jet ski. I think I have done some other things that would warrant me not being on a jet ski to not be an issue.
Oh, how the non-jet ski draw these delineations to preserve social caste over those who have jet skied before.
I'm just saying.
It's fine.
It's fine. He's never been on a jet ski. He's even said himself he's never been out of the country. He's never been to Mexico. I think there is something about Nate that is worldly that Brandon doesn't have that makes Nate more interesting and deep like Michelle wants. And, you know, I don't want to be this person, but it's hard to be the person in the relationship when you got to teach somebody everything. And I mean, you always like to have the conversation about tact and have the conversation about you want to be with somebody where they've been places before. Not places physically, but like have been enough places and know how to act and know how to be and know how to not like go into places and have this sort of like look of wonder, you know? And I feel like Brandon has that where Nate doesn't have that.
I think earnestness still sums it up.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he enjoys doing new things for the first time, but like, man, it would be nice if he wasn't always doing something for the first time, you know?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Brandon is great. It's just...
He's so sweet.
It's a matter of, like, ceiling height, right? Like, he's as good mm-hmm. as he can be at mm-hmm. what he is. Mm-hmm. But you sit there and you go, does it get any better than this?
Right.
I mean, he's nice.
Yeah.
Everything he says is couldn't be scripted better. You know, it's not complex, it's very direct, it's very honest, but you kind of sit there and you're like, you know.
So it was interesting that she even said on this date that you know Brandon is someone who challenges me to stay in the moment, but I think Nate really is the person that she was talking about there. Like, Nate is the person that challenges her to stay in the moment because he is always not talking about the future, always. So another Franken edit that I think was in the wrong place. But anyway, towards the evening of the date, you know, they talk about their favorite moments over the course of their time frame together.
their long history.
Their almost 6 to 8 weeks of being together.
Could have been 2 months.
Could have
by
been
now.
2 months, maybe. Brandon's favorite moment was meeting her parents, and Michelle's favorite moment was just last week, which doesn't really bode very well for I think the relationship.
So he brings her a gift.
Yeah.
Which is a sweatshirt from their overnight, I believe.
Yes.
Maybe the sweatshirt she was wearing when they had the food fight.
It was the sweatshirt he was wearing, yeah.
He was wearing when they had the food fight.
Yep. Yep.
Again.
The food, I know. I
the
sat
food
with
fight
it.
Makes me so nervous.
I sat with it a little bit afterwards, and I also don't like that because somebody does have to clean that up. And the egg was runny. You know how hard it is to get runny egg out of clothes?
Everyone's got salmonella.
Well, yeah.
It's just in the universe now.
I mean,
now.
It's just very hard to get runny eggs out of, like, fabric.
At the same time, consider the alternative.
Not doing it?
Hey, I know that we're in the moment and we're kind of, you know, playing with this food and everything. Why don't we move this into the bathroom, put down a tarp on the tile floor, on the linoleum.
Yes.
And then...
Well, let's call some people for some wipes before we even start so that we're prepared.
Would that ruin the moment?
I don't know.
Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in it.
I see where this is going, but I want to be respectful to the hospitality.
Yeah, because they are working hard too. So Brandon gives her that hoodie, and she then changes her tune and says, that was actually my favorite moment of all of our moments together. And Brandon really makes her feel loved and all of the things that she's always said. And
it's sweet. It seems like they're going really well. You know, there's nothing bad is happening.
Nothing bad
they're going,
is happening.
They're going very smoothly.
Every date with Brandon has been a perfect date, a perfect moment, a perfect everything.
Yeah.
So how did the final date with Nate go?
I thought this was honestly the perfect date for him. Like, they always do like a spiritual date throughout the season, and the spiritual date is always put in a place where it is meant to take somebody out of their comfort zone. Whereas Nate seems like somebody who has probably been somewhere and talked to a shaman of sorts before and talked about energies and
We disagree on this.
I don't think this is a situation where Nate would be uncomfortable. I think they were trying to make him uncomfortable, but Nate doesn't seem like the kind of person that gets uncomfortable.
Oh, I think he was extremely uncomfortable.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
So the date is, if you didn't watch it, which I hope you didn't, because it was 3 hours long tonight.
Jesus. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I'm tired. I've got a baby.
We have a baby and a dog.
I've got a baby.
So the date is this sort of pre-marriage ritual with this Mexican shaman.
Sure.
Who there's like some it's not incense, some like burning.
It's burning like sage, like it's a cleansing sort of ritual.
It's not a fire. It's a little controlled thing in this tiny little pot, and they pass around and make sage. Smoke. And everything.
Yeah.
They do that, and they're supposed to, you know, look into each other's eyes and tell each other their, you know, barest, deepest secrets and everything. And it just feels, it's my turn to do body language reading now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've had the monopoly on it this whole episode.
Oh, excuse me.
Nate is just way more concerned with keeping the thing lit than, like, getting the words right.
Oh, okay.
It's very strange.
I didn't notice that.
He keeps being like, yeah, give me more juice on this thing. The fire's going out or whatever. And the guy is kind of like, no, I lit it already. It's your turn to just say something.
Speak.
The part of the show where I do my thing is over. The part of the show where it's off to you to do the actual thing is now, and mm-hmm. you're not doing it.
Yeah.
What's up?
I can understand how that would be like a moment where Nate would be like, let me try to put the focus on somebody else so that I don't have to talk. Which is weird. Why does he do that?
He's like, because he's not ready to talk yet. He's not ready to go. He hasn't thought it out yet. He doesn't. I don't think he shoots from the hip super well.
Why does he do that?
He delivers premeditated lines pretty well. But that's it.
Yeah, premeditated lines that aren't anything, so that he doesn't have to sit and think about.
I think Michelle kind of picked up on it, too. I think she agreed more with me than with you.
Really?
I think so.
I didn't notice that. Okay, I accept
it. Because she was like, I was kind of hoping for more here from him.
Mm-hmm.
She was not.
Michelle does pick up on that with him a lot. And now, granted,
she loves it.
She loves
it. You can't help what you're into.
Now, granted, she loves it. But also, like, is this the edit? Is this, like, you know, they're trying to get her to say some of these things about him so that he can have this narrative of the, are we sure? Is he or isn't he? And then Brandon gets the perfect narrative. Like, all of that is television.
I don't want to be the guy who just, like, constantly trashes on women. There's just sort of a pattern that I've noticed. It's not just women. Men do this, too.
Thank you.
You can't help who you're into.
You can't.
And women sometimes will go for this kind of mysterious, project, imperfect type thing over the other guy, you know, and it doesn't make any sense, you know, in defense of women. Men will sometimes pick a woman who is stupid and doesn't talk and is crazy.
Though we're not using the word crazy anymore, society-wise.
I'll use it. Men will pick a woman who is crazy over a woman who's perfectly cool because they can't help what they're into.
Yeah.
And it's just a dumb thing
Maybe
about...
Maybe the crazy girl has huge boobs.
She got big boobs.
But that's... Those are things that shouldn't be counted.
right.
Wait, do we switch sides in this? You can't help what you're into. That's just the moral of the story is you can't help what you're into.
So later in the evening portion of the date, you know, Nate sort of made his sort of mea culpa, and Michelle gave him sort
Latin?
Of well,
nice send off here.
Well, thank you so much. Actually, the only reason I really know it is because of the Hunchback of Notre Dame. So thank you.
Hey, listen, that's smart too. That's reading. Oh, you're talking about the Disney movie.
I'm talking about the Disney movie.
Wow, I guess that's like the key difference between you and me.
Me and you. Me and you. Our son is really gonna have quite a wide range of
education.
Hey,
listen, that's a classic book, and you think,
and
hey,
I
listen,
said, hey, listen,
that's a 20-year-old Disney movie.
20-year-old Disney movie that is wildly underrated, and especially an excellent soundtrack because of all of the allusions to Catholic music and orchestral sort of anyway
okay, go.
So Nate says himself, maybe I'm not the best with words, I know I really struggle with, you know, putting myself out there, because this was also their chance to debrief post you know, Michelle's parents talking to her about meeting Nate for the first time. And you know, Nate, as we know, has continued to have challenges with just speaking in linear sentences about how he feels. He is so deep about everything else that it seems really hard to believe that he can't get himself together enough to just be like, I love you and I care about you and I want to be with you. He's done it, but I mean, my God, it took us, you know, 12 weeks to get here. So
I feel like you're forgetting that Nate's thing is that he's just really cool. And if he were to just be direct like that, he might lose some of his coolness.
Some of his coolness. Because it's more important to be cool than it is to be open with your partner about how you're feeling.
I mean,
yes.
I don't want to be that guy. But like, yeah. Look at what's working. And also, I mean, I understand this. As a person who has been evaluating these two the entire time, mm-hmm. I've been like, Nate has that thing, man. He has that kind of magic where he's the only guy in the room. And maybe, yeah, he's tall. And I'm giving him these advantages because he's tall. Maybe it's that. He has...
he's got all this, all these accessories on his face. And I love that about him.
You keep saying that he's deep. But what I'm hearing is he's tall. Dimensionally, I think you have misunderstood what he is.
You're going the wrong way.
I mean, I think that's sort of part of his... like, part of the Nate magic package. Right. It's something that you can't really put your finger on. And part of it is that when he talks, you can't really put your finger on what he's saying.
Right. And you're just kind of like, this is it.
Listen, it works for this guy.
Listen, this is fine. I bet he's a great account executive, honestly.
I bet he can sell you on stuff you didn't even know you talked about.
I know, that's right. So now all of a sudden he's kind of worried that he's not expressing himself enough. And, you know, his last sort of stitch effort to Michelle is that I don't want to lose you. And I'm really scared to lose you. And, you know, I don't always love phrasing like that because...
You know what? I've never loved phrasing like that.
Yeah, because I don't want to lose you is not I love you. And it I don't want to lose you really translates into, you know, I want you and I want to win and I
yes.
want to
okay,
be...
That's what I was going
to
say.
I want to be at the end of this, not because about our relationship, but it's about I have triumphed over all of these other people.
It sounds to me like you're saying I'm hyper aware we're playing a game.
Right.
And I don't want to think about what this could look like for me if
because
I lose.
He has said that often over the course of the show that, like, I'm not even thinking about anybody else and, like, you know... this, I'm just so focused on my relationship with you. And then now all of a sudden you're like, I don't want to lose you.
It is a convenient coincidence of the English language that lose in this case could mean a win-lose thing.
Yeah.
And I don't get to be with you.
Right.
It is a convenient coincidence that the sentence, I don't want to lose and I don't want to lose you. Start with all of the same words.
Right.
You can only, like, you can start saying the bad sentence and then, like, get out of it, abandon it at the very end, throw in one extra word, and all of a sudden you've changed it.
Yeah.
But what he is saying is, I don't want to be a loser.
Right. And I want to be really clear that our skepticism about Nate has nothing to do with his confidence. Like, I appreciate his confidence. It is very attractive.
It's when, like, I've been
under it.
I've been under it the entire season. Yeah. And if I were picking, I'd still be picking Nate.
Yeah.
I would be doing it.
It is the communication style that is what is giving me pause. It is a communication style that I would say is immature for
the direction that we're going.
It's just crazy how unthinking all of this is. Because me, personally, Adam Bonifest, way more in real life, I'm way more like Brandon than Nate. And guys like Brandon,
I know.
Guys like Brandon and me sit around and think, man, it's so stupid that all these women go for guys like Nate, you know? And then we grab three or four of our friends, and we all get a guitar, and we write songs about it.
Who's we?
Well, not me. I can't play the guitar. But
I can.
Debatable. There's been no proof.
Hey, man.
But, like, nice guys sit around and go, why do girls always pick the cool guys? And then here I am.
Picking the cool guy.
Yeah,
you really are.
Here I am trying to put myself in Michelle's mind. And I'm doing this. I'm making the same mistake.
Look at you.
It's all chemicals. You can't rationalize this thing out. It's just
You can't help what you're into.
You can't help what you're into.
And here I am still thinking about Rick Rickman.
Drama.
What happened to him? I bet his eyelashes are still crazy long.
So long. So we get to the end. And we pick out our gaudy and ugly rings from Neil Lane. And Brandon is approaching the beach in Mexico in his blue suit. And Nate is approaching the beach in Mexico in his black suit. And the first leg that we see out of the car, as you know, whoever goes first at the tail end of this thing is the one that goes home. And we see that blue pant leg.
It's going to be Brandon. The sacrifice has to be made.
So, and I think this is our end of the road for Brandon, where we talk about his sort of devastating breakup with Michelle. And
I want to take a quick detour.
Okay.
And I told you this while we were watching it, but I want the audience to go through a thought experiment also.
Okay.
So wherever you are,
right,
just close your eyes, unless you're driving.
Don't do that.
Close your eyes and just imagine what it's like to be Michelle. You wake up on a day, and you know for sure two guys are going to propose to you today. First of all, what is that like? What?
I mean, second gas all, me up. Make me feel good.
Second of all, these are two guys, and it's not like at this point we have a hero and a villain.
Right.
We have two guys who are pretty good people.
Right.
And it's
with some red flags that, you know, we would both want to call out. But I mean,
but especially,
who doesn't have red flags?
Especially from her perspective, though. She's into both of these guys.
Yes.
She likes them both.
She loves them both.
And in order to get to the end, in order to get to the part where you say, I pick the one that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I mean, we know it's gonna be Nate. To say, I get to Nate. Before you get to do that, you have to stand there and just personally murder the other one. How?
This was so devastating.
That part, like, to me, personally, the part where I have to just destroy the second place finisher would completely overtake the joy from getting engaged to the winner. Personally, that's how I would experience that.
So Brandon sort of goes into his speech about Michelle and, you know, and his love for her. And Michelle basically says, you know, I love you and I have to follow my heart. And it's just not with you. And this was so tough. I think it's been a really long time since we've seen a breakup like this, where you really feel the emotional turmoil of the two people kind of going through it. I was like, it was devastating to watch it.
It was healthy, but it was sad.
So sad.
And it was, you know,
so sad.
When he's doing his proposal, like, you don't just get down on one knee. You got to give this speech about, like,
right,
you know, full of superlatives. From the first time I saw you, you're the best person in my whole life. You make me feel like nobody else.
So
whatever.
Amazing, blah, blah, blah.
And Brandon's doing it, and it feels so honest because he's Brandon and this is just who he is. And you can see her face just, like, whatever the opposite of lighting up is, she was doing
that. She was turning it down.
She was doing that, and, you know, there's this moment, it happens every season, you know, where every season of The Bachelorette, where she's listening, and she realizes she has to say it.
Right.
And then you just, like, the camera cuts over to Brandon's face, and you go, like, does he have to finish? Do we have to wait until he's done?
God, it was awful. It was just awful. And so, you know, he meant every word that he said to her. And so essentially his response was, you know, I wish our circumstances could be different. I wish it could be me, but all I really care about is your happiness. And I'm so happy that you're following your heart and picking the person that's right for you. Like, are you kidding me? Are you joking?
It was sweet.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. And then when they separated and he walked up the stairs, well, no, when they hugged each other and like...
Taylor touched my arm. For anybody listening to what it means when you touch your arm earlier, Taylor just did it right now.
I just did it. When they hugged each other before they got off the beach and he started crying, I almost exploded. Like, I didn't know what to do. And then they walk back up to the stairs. Brandon's walking up the stairs. Michelle's like standing down there. And as he's walking up the stairs, he turns to look back at her. Bye. Absolutely not. I have to get out of here. It was so emotional. It was really emotional. It was, I mean.
Taylor had a rough day.
I mean, top three breakups on the show.
Taylor, it was very hard for Taylor to watch.
It was tough. And it was tough.
We have a body language reading expert in our household who was watching Taylor do this. And she wanted to come over and she was supposed to be in her bed, but she kept inching over to Taylor. She kept trying to get close to you to comfort you.
We're talking about busy. She was playing
obviously games. It's busy.
She was playing games. We told her to stay in her bed and then she was like, but mommy, you're crying.
Busy was trying to come over and like she could read how distraught you were and she was trying to come over and console you. She was trying to do it. It shows a lot about how visibly upset you were. It also says great things about our dog.
She's a service animal. She needs to stop screaming when she's in the house by herself. She's an
equal member of the household.
Yeah, but I mean, she is the DNA of a service animal. But I mean, could she not scream when she's in the house by herself? Yes, that would be nice.
Could she? Because I don't think she can.
I don't think she can either. I mean, it was wow.
It was sad.
Wow. It was sad. Wow.
You couldn't script it any sadder, and I'm sure they tried.
It was, and you know what? The Bachelor loves stuff like this. And so Brandon crying and like him sort of, you know, resigning himself to the breakup and, you know, also saying, you know, I will always love Michelle. And, you know, the fact that she's happy is the only thing that I care about. And like, they couldn't have scripted that better.
I think he had thought about what to say
in the instance
that it wasn't him. And as soon as he realized it wasn't him, he just switched that on.
Yeah.
And it was good. I mean, it's all sweet.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. He did it. It was
not all good.
Yeah.
The part of it that was bad was the part where we had to listen to it because the...
Okay!
The audio was awful.
I just don't understand how we do this almost every season. We have to go outside into the elements or like somebody's got to like shoot something where they're like, yeah, let's do it on the beach. Yeah, let's do it in front of this. Like, you know, like with Rachel and and Brian. The audio was bad there. Let's do it here. Let's do it where it's windy. Girl!
So we're on a beach and it's very windy and the waves are crashing in and you can't even understand. We had to turn the subtitles on and we don't watch TV like that normally. And you couldn't hear what they were saying. You couldn't hear a word.
And Michelle already talks soft. And we already know Brandon, who slurs his words together because he thinks he's Drake.
He's a low talker, too.
Yeah.
But it's like if you and I did this podcast, and instead of the mic sitting on the table between us, I picked it up by the cord and was just swirling it around at high speed on top of us. And we were trying to talk into it. But also... We had 5 fans in the room, and the heat was on.
And then not to mention, I was throwing water into a bucket.
And the microphone wasn't even plugged in.
Over and over and over
again. And on top of it, the microphone wasn't plugged in, and we were recording this on a computer in some other apartment.
Yes.
Is how it sounded.
Awful.
You couldn't understand the words.
We've been doing this show for almost 30 years. You would think that there is one or two producers there saying... Hey, you know what's not going to be good for audio? Wind and the waves on the beach. Let's maybe, I don't know, bring the event up a couple, you know, levels away from the sea.
Nope.
Like, let's
so that we can hear.
It was just audio video suicide.
It was bad.
It was awful.
So I guess let's get to the good part.
This episode, not sponsored by, but thank you to the people who work hard to do closed captioning on television.
Thank you. It is.
You have made this show, tonight's episode, yes, very special.
It is a tough job. Accessibility is very important. Thank you for your service.
So Nate's up. I don't know what to say.
How did you feel about sort of his words of affirmation to Michelle?
Well,
before she got to her,
what I had to say is it's very easy to do when you realize instantly that you've already won and that there's no way this can go badly. Like, he starts off and he looks at her and then she kind of gives him the whole, hey, listen,
it's you.
I'm going to say yes to you. Keep going, whatever. Keep you've going. Already won. But I don't know. I mean, he's okay. He's not bad. He's got the Nate magic. I get it.
He practiced this because knowing him and how we've seen him in other situations where he's been off the cuff, he wrote this down. And yeah, somebody probably, smooth. His producer told him, you need to write this down because you can't come in here and just say whatever you feel like you want to say.
It was good and it was smooth. But honestly, when I was watching him, I kept thinking, I can't believe this is going to work for him. He's got his suit on this like altar on the beach in Mexico delivering the speech. That's not the way people get engaged. The way that I got engaged was on a dirt path in this park in my sweatpants because I was keeping up the hoax of going, you know, hiking before I went for a race.
And I, like a stupid idiot, believed you.
Right, but neither one of us was made up or dressed up. No. Or.
And here I am, pregnant.
Here you are.
Yeah.
You know, like the situation is never like that, and I couldn't help but think like, yeah, this is, it's just a little bit too perfect.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
that's the concept of the show. I get it.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes, you know, there are people that get engaged on Jumbotrons. There are people that get engaged in front of, you know, large groups of family members. And, you know, sometimes that's not for everybody.
Different stuff's good for everyone. You can't help what you're into. That includes style of engagement.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I kept looking at him thinking, this is so far away from the way that I did it. And now I'm having a baby.
So do you think, it has been a while, I think, and before we get to after the final rose, it has been a while, I think, since we've had a finale where we've really felt like the two people that are together should be together and that the relationship feels more solid than I think some of the people that we've talked about over the course of our entire show. Like, sure, I'm definitely still surprised about Brian and Rachel, and the more that I hear about her relationship with Peter, and I can't wait for that book to come out.
So I can read it and tell you about it?
No, I'm going to read that so that I could hear about her relationship with Brian and maybe feel more confident about that. And, like, you know, I wish Tayshia and Zach had worked out. And, you know, the Trista and Ryan, who she was the first bachelorette, who would have thought that they would have been, they would still be married 20 years now. Their kids are teenagers.
People back then didn't play like they
Jason did and Molly. Like, I was like, no, pick Melissa. Molly is the worst. And here, Jason and Molly together. So on the list and the spectrum of all of the people that have been together that we got to the final two, do you think Nate and Michelle, what's your over under?
They stay together.
Okay, I think so too.
I think the expectations are the part of it. They're not trying to use this as a platform to be famous.
Right.
So already discussed that.
Right.
But I do feel like they're actually attracted to each other.
They're equally yoked.
They're doing something that's sustainable here.
Yeah.
You know,
she's focused on her career.
Yeah, they're not just two people trying to give up their lives and be influencers together. You know, I feel like they are compatible. They are together. After watching all of this, it feels like, objectively, Brandon is a better dude than Nate. But you don't get married to objectively the best people you know. You know, there's a chemical component that you just can't sit and think through and that nobody else can, you know, make for you or anything. And Nate is like magnetic. And Maybe it's not good. Maybe it is. I don't know. I get it.
Yeah. And I think he'll, like, with the influencer thing, I think he will be a local Minnesota sort of influencer. I think he's got enough, you know, mundo where people would want him to hawk their wares. But he is so good at all of these other things where I don't think he needs to get his confidence from that kind of work like a lot of other people who have been in the Bachelor Nation sphere need to get their validation from social media like that.
Maybe, but they're also like a little bit famous living in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
That's a lot different than being...
Did I say the right one? I said Minnesota, right?
Yeah, it's Minneapolis and Minnesota. Oh my God.
I know. I just don't know, Adam.
That's a lot different than trying to be the next little bit famous person in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
It's a lot different.
Yeah.
There's... Everyone in Los Angeles has been a little bit famous at some point in their life, and they're trying to extend it. Every single person, all 3 million people who live in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
Like Minneapolis is just not that kind of city.
No.
So it's fine.
No. So we get to after the final rose. Originally, of course, Tayshia was supposed to be joining Caitlyn with COVID,
we missed out.
Issues surging in New York. We missed out on Tayshia. She had been exposed to the virus, so she decided not to join. And so Caitlyn, I think, did a pretty good job hosting. You know, I think there are some moments where we needed some decorum and some... tact, Adam, as you like to say.
Interviewing skills, maybe.
Interviewing skills, you know, a little bit of emotion that she might have missed. But again, that's all part of carrying an entire hour of television by yourself. So first up, out came Brandon to sort of talk through his emotions. It was nice to see him. He looked pretty good. He talked about sort of what happened to him after breaking up with Michelle, the support that he got from his family, from Will and Daniel from the show. She shared this photo of him that she took. Was that weird?
No.
It was kind of weird.
No, it was all just very sweet. Like, Brandon he's moved on. He's done it in a positive way where he still remembers the experience with Michelle is positive. He's not one of these people who comes on and is just like, why didn't you pick me? What happened?
Yeah.
It's healthy. There's no venom there. They both still like and respect each other.
And I appreciated that he even said, like, you know, when she asked him, are you still in love with Michelle? He said, I don't even think that's like a respectful thing that I should answer.
No, he was like, yes, but I'm not like romantically trying to be involved with her.
No, she's with me. Engaged. Right.
Honestly, it went as well as it could have gone.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good person. He went up there and said what a good person would say.
Yeah. And I think this is another moment where, you know, we get all of this emotion from Brandon and all of these other things from Brandon. And you're like, and you didn't want him to be the Bachelor?
You don't think it through.
Right.
If you used your brain, you'd pick Brandon. But yeah, that's not how you pick.
I guess.
218 episodes. You still haven't figured this out yet?
I know.
It's like you don't even listen.
To myself.
I don't even listen to my own little stupid catchphrase.
I don't listen to you.
You've never listened to me once.
I've never listened to you once. So Michelle comes out and, you know, basically gives the whole spiel about how, you know, I meant what I said when I said it, when I said I loved you. Yes, I loved you both at the same time. And that can happen. And that's a real thing. And I agree with that. And, you know, it was a long-winded answer, but it was an answer that was true in terms of, you know, basically saying it just wasn't you. And everybody's kind of made peace with that.
I mean, he gets it. His question...
He gets it.
He didn't ask, like, why wasn't it me? Like,
yeah.
It was very cordial. It was two people who still liked each other.
And like, I appreciated him even saying, like, you know, it's not my place to ask you questions. I'm just here to listen. Like, again, more of Brandon being great. Please.
Brandon realizes that the field is very open for him in terms of...
I mean, it's coming from all directions.
Now he's a public figure who is just entirely pure and decent and good and attractive. And, his dating life is about to be whatever he wants it to be for a while.
His Raya is about to be lit. Lit. Not Hinge. Raya. Because he's famous now.
Yeah, like I was gonna say.
Totally.
That's it.
Yeah.
Nate comes out.
Yeah.
Nate and Michelle have some time on the couch. They kind of Nobody ever says anything. This is not unique to them. This is true about every couple that's ever won this. They get on the show, they come out, and they go, yeah, we just haven't seen each other. We're just really excited and to start our lives together.
And all very happy. And, you know, again, I think, you know, he had never seen the show, which was new information to me, that he had never seen the show, and he had never, it was tough for him to be on camera. Like, he even said during the, not after the final rose, but during the episode, that he had only brought two suits because he was like, I don't know what this is going to be like. I'm not, you know, really, I don't know what's going to happen here. And I think the time away from the cameras, and I'm sure him watching it back, probably gave him a bit of a kick in the butt to say, you need to get it together and be better about this.
Maybe. I hope. I mean, maybe, but like after the final rose is not the venue for that.
No.
It's just, it's very stock standard templated. He's going to come out for one act.
Right.
They're going to do.
Everybody's happy.
They're going to do. The questions are like, so what's it feel like to see each other? Oh, well, oh I just, God, you I know, we it. Just love yeah, each other and it's so God, weird to not see each other. And now here we are. Right. And then that's it.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
So, right. Both of their parents, both sets of parents were on, you know, talking about how much they love each other, how much they've, you know, they've learned about Nate and Michelle over the course of this whole thing, and how, you know, the two moms are chit-chatting after each episode of debriefing, you know, as moms are wont to do.
It's cute.
So, before we get into the end of it, we're not going to talk about Clayton at all because this is our last episode.
We're
so
not
we don't
doing
have
that
to.
Season.
We don't have to.
We don't. He wasn't great. We don't care.
I don't
We're
care.
Not doing it.
I'm over it.
You know what? If you're listening to this, don't watch it yourself.
Don't watch it.
Or do and or start do. A podcast and we'll listen to that instead.
I don't care. The final thing I want to mention is that Caitlin said we have a surprise for you all. And so Nate mentioned, like, yes, they're looking for places in Minnesota. He's moving very soon, like within the next month or few months or so. They, the show.
The Bachelorette.
The Bachelorette. The Bachelor.
ABC.
ABC, Bachelor Nation. Gave Nate and Michelle a check for a down payment on a house. And I don't know if anybody heard this, but when they opened the top of it, Michelle looked at the check and she looked at the number and she said, it's $200,000. What?
Drama!
Good for them.
Now, like, that is real money. And, like, for Michelle, who's a teacher, and, like, Nate, who's an account executive who probably makes money based off commission, $200,000, and you're moving to Minnesota, $200,000, that's cash for a home. That's not a down payment. That is, like, that's the amount of the house. That's it.
I mean, it's...
They've never given this kind of money away.
It's a lot of money for you and me and
for normal people.
It's no money. It's not even a rounding error for the people at ABC.
No.
You know, it's nice. It's still nice. It's still generous, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not life-changing for them to give that away. It maybe is even a sponsored gift.
Because Nate did say he's getting a lot of Zillow notifications, and I was like, that's an interesting thing for him to say, and then for them to give them $200,000.
This is a theory I have. Totally, no information, don't go, you know, conspiracy theorizing on this.
Mm-mm. Don't put it on Reddit, because I don't want to see it.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's a sponsored gift from somebody.
I mean, it's got to be.
Or even something we're going to find out about later where it comes with they've got to make 10 social media posts about the buying process or the moving process or the decorating process or something. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Still makes it doesn't make it any less generous.
Right.
But wow. They're just done being famous. They're going to both be, you know, living the teacher lifestyle
Midwest dream in
Minneapolis. And they're going to enjoy it. And, like, the sunset is over. They're done being on TV.
Yeah.
How nice.
This was great. What a way to end our show. Like, with free money and a couple that we can kind of stand behind when the going gets rough and the rough gets going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we have a baby.
And we're gonna have a baby.
Know,
so
we have actual important things in our lives.
And we're gonna have a baby. So,
as much fun as this has been, you know, you just have parts of your life where you have to do something better, and that's what this is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. It's at least we're not just, you know, throwing some couple, going out on some couple that's just obviously not going to make it. Like basically all of them from the last 10 seasons.
Exactly. Wow. I think we did it.
Yeah, we did it. Anything, any, you know, parting thoughts?
No. I mean, everybody seems very happy, very excited. You know, your son's moving around in here, kicking.
Yeah. Listen, if you've been listening along, thank you again.
Yes, thank you.
Feel free to reach out to us if you want to just say hi sometime.
Get in the comments.
Do it. Get in the comments. Get in the comments.
Get in the comments.
You know, it's December 23rd now when this goes up.
Well, so, happy Festivus.
That's what I was going to say, you know. It's happy holidays.
Your grievances?
Whatever you do, you know. Mm-hmm. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. If you celebrate Hanukkah, Happy Hanukkah. Same with Kwanzaa. If you celebrate Festivus, I've got a lot of problems with you people, and you're going to hear about them right now.
That's right. That's right.
That's it. Thanks for the last 10 years of listening to us, and I guess we'll see you guys around.
Okay, bye.
If you don't like drama, why are you the Bachelorette?
I'm really like an anti-drama person. It's the Bachelor, it's the Bachelorette. Like, there's drama, a sea of drama. Yes, it can cause drama.
Get into it. Drama.
Many people who buy into the drama.